literally cancers disappearing. I shared with you last night a man that had a level 4 melanoma on the brain, and it's gone, and the doctors couldn't believe it was gone. We just had a woman that was sent to Seattle seriously with cancer and blood clot, massive blood clot in her liver. This happened Holy Week. She called me on Tuesday, said, "Pastor, I'm on my way to Seattle." Thursday, because the Sunday before, we had prayed for her and asked God for a miracle. She called me Thursday and she said, "Pastor, the doctors are shocked. They cannot find the cancer." In Hermiston. In Hermiston. We had 1,000 people pack the high school on Easter Sunday seeking God. Seeking God with all their heart. It's the only venue we've got in town big enough to do that, and we've overpacked it. And so we don't know what we're going to do next year. We just launched our 4th weekend service. I'm sharing this with you for a reason, not to make us look great. This is in Hermiston, Oregon, that when we got there, the 80 people that would gather with us would say, "Well, you know, to really experience God, you got to go to the Tri-Cities, you got to go to Portland, you got to go to Spokane." I'd say, "Why?" "Well, this is Hermiston." I said, "So what? God doesn't show up in Hermiston. Why did God send me to Hermiston? If God's not going to be here, why send me here? Or is it that your faith is so tiny you can't believe God wants to come to Hermiston?" And that was it. And we battled that for 2 years until it finally broke. And now they know God and Hermiston. God's in Hermiston. Now you hear me. A little surprise. So keep this a secret. Don't tell anybody. Shh. God's in Shelton. Yeah. See, Shelton has a reputation. Yeah. Can any good thing come out of Shelton? No, nothing much. Just Jesus. Yeah. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. But you see, there's some amazing places in Scripture. You have Jesus and His disciples getting in a boat, going for a boat ride. Where are we going? Well, we're going to go over to the Gadarenes. By the way, you know what the Gadarenes is today? It's called the Golan Heights. The Gadarenes. The Decapolis. It was called Decapolis because there were 10 Roman outposts over there. God didn't go there. God didn't go there. The only thing there was legion. God didn't go there. Jesus had the incredible nerve to show up in the Gadarenes. And when he met legion, he set legion free. And so, sometime later, Jesus is on another journey. And he says, "Let's go see what's going on over in the Decapolis." And so they go to the Decapolis. Well, they heard he's going to the Decapolis, and a bunch of Pharisees follow him. And then they get really mad because when he arrives in the Decapolis, God had showed up where God didn't go. And the people now are lining the streets because they heard Jesus is here. And so they start lining the streets and bringing all the sick people and lining them up. And as Jesus walks by, His shadow falls on them and they get healed. And the whole Decapolis is caught up in a revival where God didn't go. Now they're in this amazing revival. Because Jesus came there. The same Jesus went to Nazareth and couldn't do much because they didn't believe. So I want to ask you a question. Shelton, what do you want? Jesus is here, but what do you want? You want just to make a little nice visit here? And then, or do you want to see Shelton turned upside down? By the way, Judy, have you noticed yet? I'm not getting there. Okay. As I was... God, you're going to have to open their understanding to see this. As I was standing here, worshiping tonight, God was saying to me, what I've done there, I want to do here, and even greater. The disunity among the shepherds is an abomination in the eyes of God. I want to tell you something, Pentecostals and Charismatics, you've got to listen to me. We've got to get rid of our arrogance and our pride.
Okay.
The biggest battle I had in getting the unity in the shepherds was the arrogant, proud Pentecostals who said, well, every time we go over there, they won't let us speak in tongues, and I'm just not doing that. And I said, so what? You're so proud and arrogant that you can't pray in tongues underneath your breath?
All right.
What?
I said those very words.
Our pride is so great. Our pride is so great. And then when they heard I was starting to build this friendship with these guys, they kind of going, Dean, when are you going to get them talking in tongues? I said, that's not my job. I'm not trying to make trophies here to go, look, I got that Baptist. Oh, what's up with that? I'll tell you what's up with that. That's spiritual pride and arrogance. And it grieves the heart of Papa. You know what? The same Jesus that saved me and cleaned this mess up, the same Jesus that lives in my brothers, my Nazarene brothers, my Baptist brothers, my Lutheran brothers. I want to tell you, 2 years ago, my Lutheran brother was going through a horrible time because his denomination was making the choice to accept homosexuals. And he had to lead his church in truth. And I said, brother, would you please do me a favor? I said, yeah, because I'd heard he was going to speak for 4 Sundays to his people. I said, may I want to stand with you in prayer. And then I'd like to hear your teachings. So he gave me 4 CDs. The finest teaching I've ever heard on a biblical position on homosexuality. Phenomenal. By my Lutheran brother, who is a high church pastor. Loves Jesus with all his heart. And we would do church completely different. Well, I'll tell you, he's my brother. He's my brother. And we can stand together. See, we've missed that. And Shelton is splintered right now. The enemy has territory because he's been able to get the church splintered. And where the house is divided, it can't stand. And someone has to be willing to be the instrument. Somebody. Somebody's going to have to crawl on their knees and be the instrument to heal what's divided Shelton. because God wants to come in glory and power. He wants to come. And the next thing that has to happen is there has to be an element of people that will say, not on my watch. Isaiah 62. God put watchmen on the wall. And they said, God, we will give you no rest. We will give you no rest. Not until your glory comes and this city is a praise in the earth. And righteousness is exalted, and a highway is made. That's why we have what we have happening in Hermiston. Every Sunday night, we spend 40 minutes as a church family crying out and tearing down walls. And we have people prayer walking and prayer driving. And we regularly go to the Butte, and we stand in the Butte looking over our city, and we declare righteousness of God. And the greatest thing that's happened, there's a group of us from all different churches, and we prayer drive the perimeter. And we've gone to the four corners of Greater Hermiston. Not just Hermiston proper, but Greater Hermiston. And we've gone to the four corners, and we've taken communion, and we've put a stake in the ground with Scripture on it at all four corners. And then we went to the center, and we said, God, raise a canopy of your glory here. And then we made notice. We went to the gateways of the city. And at each of the gateways of the city, we made a declaration. We're lifting up the gates that the King of Glory may come in. And we're saying to the powers of hell, you will no longer traffic through here. And we're watching it tore down. Now, some point, in some way, it's going to have to come a unified voice. It can't be a church, because a single church does not take cities. It's the church of Jesus Christ that takes cities. See, you got to get a kingdom concept. Got to get kingdom minded. Can't be. I am unashamedly affiliated with the Church of God. I have my credentials with them. I'm not ashamed of that. I love the accountability that brings, all that stuff. But I am not here to build up the Church of God. I'm here to build up the Kingdom of God. And when my affiliation is more important than the Church of Jesus Christ in a community, I will see fruit, but it will be small portions of fruit. Where God's kingdom is able to come is when we do not deny our distinctives, but we do not make them the point. We make the kingdom of God the point. See, I can't lock arms with Baha'i. I cannot lock arms with a Methodist church or a Lutheran church that does not teach the Lordship of Jesus Christ and does not teach salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ alone and by faith alone. I can't lock arms with someone that teaches contrary to the Holy Word. Yeah. But you know what? I can lock arms with everyone that teaches the fundamentals of the faith. Yeah. We may have our distinctives. And maybe they don't believe in the current day gifts of the Spirit and the moving of gifts of the Spirit. But you know what? We believe so much together, we can. Amen? We can lock arms. We can stand together. We can fight the devil together. We can tear down the strongholds of darkness together. Shelton Do you want Jesus to show up? Do you want Jesus here?
Yes.
Do you want Him to come? Do you believe He can come to shelter? She just said, if He can come to Hermiston, He can come to Shelton. Third thing that has to happen. Father, help me say this graciously. You have to learn what Jesus meant when He said, learn this. Father wants mercy and grace, not sacrifice. And we do church when we gather as the body of Christ. We do church in a way that pleases Father, not please men. Amen. Yes, that's right. We have gotten so into pleasing men that we do church so it's pleasing to the unchurched. And you know what? It still doesn't make sense to the unchurched. No. How can it make sense to them? It's not supposed to make sense to them. What we've done here tonight doesn't make sense to the world. But it pleases our Father. It pleases our King. Listen closely. It pleases our husband. Now all of those personal names are to the same person. He's God, He's King, He's our husband. Now, I want to tell you, when Juan and I are alone, we have little pet names and we have little pet things that we do. It wouldn't make sense to anybody else. It's not supposed to make sense to you. And even if you knew, you'd go, that's weird. Sure it is. Because, come on. If you have done more than just lived with someone for 10 years or 20 years or 40 years, if you've truly built relationship, all of you got things. You know what I'm talking about. Come on. Now see, that's how church is supposed to be when we gather as the church family and we worship. But the problem is that's all the church is to most congregations. And they have forgotten that once we've done that, we have to be a church without walls.
Amen.
This isn't the church. We could all leave here tonight and we could make this into an auto shop to repair vehicles. Or you can make it a video store. Or you can make it a little corner market. You can do anything with this building, because this building, the only reason it's called a church is because we're here. We are the church. We're church. So what happens when we dismiss tonight? I want to ask you a question. Will the church go to your workplace tomorrow? Will the church go to Walmart tomorrow? Will the church go to Starbucks tomorrow? That's my second office, by the way. Hey, so much so when they remodeled 2 weeks ago, they gave us all their furniture. So now in our welcome center, we have the overstuffed chairs that I used to use at the office. And in our outdoor patio that we have for the coffee shop, you know, we live where we get 300 days of sunshine a year. Hermiston. We sit outside and drink our coffee on Sundays. We don't have to have umbrella. I spent over 20 years on the I-5 corridor. I can tease like that. But I got to tell you, all the moss is gone now. Yeah. Anyway, enough teasing. But dear ones, when you go tomorrow, are you the church? Really? Really? You are? So you bring deliverance? You bring healing? Are you like Reagan? He's the human resource manager for the largest mint farm in the world. And three of the brothers that own that farm happen to be members of our church. And one day, the OSHA man showed up to do an inspection. So they went all the way through everything, and he got done. He said, "Well, guess this is the last time you're going to see me for a long while." He said, "Well, why is that?" He said, "Well, I got cancer. They're going to operate on me Friday." This was Wednesday. So when I got done, walking back to the car, Reagan says, "Well, can I pray for you? Now, please excuse the expression, okay? This is the world talking." He said, "Well, hell, if the big man upstairs wants to help, I'm not going to refuse." Reagan prayed for him. Got a call the next day. Guy screaming on the phone. "I went in to have the final checkup before surgery. They can't find anything." On the farm. On the farm. At Walmart a few weeks ago, one of our 20-something felt like God had sent them on an assignment. Then going to Walmart, they see somebody dressed just the way that they saw them when they were praying. Went over and prayed for the person. They got healed right there in Walmart. The church. The church. Going out where the unchurched and the world is and taking Jesus to the community. Folks, we got to learn these principles and we got to start living it out. It's got to be real. It's got to be how we live 24/7. I'm not bringing revival to Hermiston, but I am a catalyst. But who's bringing the revival is the church. The business owners that believe that God's established them there to be a praise in the earth and to be a resource. They're not just there to sell widgets. They sell widgets so that they can touch their city. On Tuesday mornings at 6 o'clock, I gather at the Stockman restaurant with 22 of our business leaders, our community leaders, our leading businessmen, and we study the Word. I have 6 churches represented around that table. Of every flavor you can imagine. And we have the chief of police and the assistant chief of police. Dr. Mayako, our superintendent of schools. And we have the heir apparent to chief of police. He got saved last fall. We baptized him in water. He's becoming a disciple of Jesus. Ways to go. He's getting there, man. We had one of the leading ranchers in the area. Their family has been ranchers in that area. They started way up in the Wallowa Valley. Came over on the Oregon Trail and founded one of the first ranches in that area. And he had never studied the Bible in his life. He'd been invited to come, and so he thought, I'll come. And he told his wife he was going to come, and she said, where are you going to study? And he said, well, we're going to study in this book, Nehemiah. She said, I'll find it. So she'd put a bookmark there for him so he'd know where to turn to. Because he'd never read the Bible. He's born again. He got baptized in water at New Hope Church. That's awesome. It's okay. It's over there at New Hope. Pastor Dave's an awesome man of God. Folks, are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you ready to take your city? These are principles. These are principles of the Word. That you got to take. Father wanted me to tell you this because He wants you to start believing Shelton. You don't have to go to Olympia. You don't have to go to Seattle. Here. Here. Right here. Start believing in here. Start prayer walking your personal property and saying, glory, come here. And then start walking your whole neighborhood. Glory of God, you come here. If you live out of town and you got to drive it, then drive it. But glory of God, come here. Glory of God, come here. Glory of God, come here. Come here. Everybody turn with me to the book of Joel. Pastor, I wish I understood in depth all of why Father's having me share it this way tonight. I believe it is because the Lord Jesus Christ is raising up a battle axe. Someone with a nice loud voice, stand up and read verse 28. No, chapter 2, 28.
Billy? You want to read for us? You got it?
Oh, is it Joel?
Yeah, 2:28.
2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions.
Okay. Now, listen very closely, please, because all the personal testimony that I have used to illustrate principles, you cannot do it here in Shelton the way we're doing it in Hermiston. It's different people, different gift mixes, you have different culture. It cannot be done the same. But the principles don't change. But I'm pulling it all together now in a way that's going to make perfect sense to you tonight, I believe. And it's going to break some chains off of some people here tonight. God promised in the last days He was going to pour out His Spirit. Now, most church people read this and say, yeah, that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. But there's a spiritual principle of a near and far fulfillment of a prophecy. When Isaiah prophesied about a son being born, there was the near fulfillment at that time in the king's life. But the far fulfillment was in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Virgin Mary. Joel, the near fulfillment of Joel happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. But there is a far fulfillment, a far that is going to go all the way down to the end times when that prophecy is going to be fulfilled. And dear ones, it is now. Now you hear me. It is not going to come. We're not going to see it in the future. Everywhere around the world where people are opening to it, it is happening right this moment. Now. Now is the time. And we are going to see an outpouring of the Spirit that will make the Azusa Street and the Charismatic Renewal and the Jesus People Movement and the Third Wave look like a small visitation of God. It is going to be so great. When you see things happening in the natural, it is because they're happening in the spiritual. In this last year, we saw an 8-point in Haiti, an 8-point in Chile, and then a 9.1 in Japan. As I shared last night, the one in Japan was 1,000 times stronger than what happened in Chile and Haiti. 1,000 times stronger. And then the tsunami that followed. And then the many aftershocks that went on. Aftershocks that would make buildings and cities fall. And I'm saying to you, that's happening in the natural, but there is an earthquake and a tsunami that is taking place spiritually that is absolutely going to change the face of the earth. The greatest harvest is right now. I'm telling you, I've never seen it like right now. Getting people to hear about Jesus and getting saved is as easy as fishing in a 50-gallon drum. It's amazing. They want to hear. They don't want a lot about religion, but they really want to know about Jesus. And they really want to know that God really is the living God. They want to know that He is the living God. And He is the same God that you see in the Scripture. What they really get frustrated with is this: they read the Bible and they read about the God in the Bible, but then the God that they hear about from the pulpit and the God that they see in the lives of Christians don't match. They don't match. You say you have God in you. Would you please then explain to me why you are constantly depressed? I don't know about you, but the Jesus in me isn't depressed. He's not in bondage either. He's not a victim. When you have Jesus in you, dear sister, listen, there's a sister here that needs to hear this. Yes, you are a victim. And it is horrible what happened to you. That didn't happen just once. And yes, you are a victim. But when you come to Jesus Christ, there is an amazing miracle that takes place. The old you that experienced all of that victimization died on the cross with Jesus. Yeah. Isaiah 53. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Surely He hath borne our sorrows and carried our grief. The words there in the Hebrew for sorrow and grief is pain and disease. When He hung on the cross, every rape victim in human history hung on that cross with Him. Every abuse victim hung on the cross with Him. Every bit of pain that has ever been suffered by a young man whose dad beat him until his body was covered with welts and said, "Well, that's for next time. That's for what you were thinking about." And that boy, just covered with pain and anger and bitterness, hung on the cross. And they took that victim off the cross and buried him in the tomb. 3 days later, when Mary saw Jesus, He was in a different set of clothes. She didn't even recognize Him. And when she finally did recognize Him, "Oh, Master, don't touch your Mary, I'm not your God, my Father." But a little bit later, when she ran to Peter, I saw the Master. And they ran, and they got to the tomb, and it was empty. What did they see? What was in the tomb? His old clothes. His old clothes. And wrapped up in those old clothes was your rape and your abuse and your beatings and those nights and those drugs and the alcohol and your promiscuity and your bitterness and your anger was all wrapped up in those grave clothes there. Right? There. And they stayed there. And you've met Jesus. And all of your victimization is in that grave to live no more. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed under rape and abuse and beatings and bitterness and anger and victimization, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
All right.
That's who you are. And when you go out of here tomorrow and you go into the community as the church seated with Christ in heavenly places, the church filled with that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the church resurrected, alive. The church. You're the church. On the job tomorrow, you're the church. Then you can fulfill Matthew 16. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Why not? Because we are God's battle axe. We are God's battering ram. We are God's warriors. We are clothed in Jesus Christ. We are seated in Jesus Christ. We are raised in Jesus Christ. We are the righteousness in Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. We are always overcomers in Jesus Christ. We are the victorious ones in Jesus Christ. And we carry the name of Jesus Christ. And we bind in the name of Jesus Christ. And we loose in the name of Jesus Christ. And we go out and we set our city free in the name of Jesus Christ. That is who you are! And what God is looking for in these last days is the church rising up in His name and filled with the power and might of the Holy Spirit. And going out as young men and old men and daughters and sons. Filled to overflowing, saturated with the Holy Spirit. And filled with faith and the anointing of Almighty God. And going out in the name of Jesus Christ. And living like the church in the midst of a world that is literally coming apart. A world that has no hope. Going into a culture of death, but going with life.
Yes.
Going into a culture that is so saturated with hedonism and hopelessness and helplessness that is trying to stay as filled with anesthesia as they possibly can, but it's because they cannot bear a moment where they feel their pain. And you come into their life with resurrection life of Jesus and the joy of the Lord, and you're filled up with peace and joy, and they look at you and you go, in the name of Jesus, cancer be gone. In the name of Jesus, depression be gone. In the name of Jesus, meth be gone. In the name of Jesus, rotten teeth be healed and be restored. In the name of Jesus, bitterness be gone. In the name of Jesus. And you bring it to them because there's hope. And you take it into the schools. We're seeing amazing things happen in our schools. Young people filled with the might and power of the Holy Ghost. Bringing hope to kids. Folks, this is last day stuff, what I'm talking about here. Because it's going to get worse before it gets better. For the world. For you and I, it can't get any better. Because when the world economy is going to hell in a handbasket, my Father has all the money I need. I told you last night, we needed $170,000. It came. In 5 months, we paid cash. Because in this economy, it's not time to be borrowing.
No.
But the cool thing is, Papa doesn't have a money problem. In this world, the more this world comes apart, the more this world comes apart, and the more this world runs to Harry Potter and runs to the vampires and runs to all of these things, and they find more and more darkness and more pain and more hate and more bitterness and more violence, and you step into their life and you bring to them the Prince of Peace. There's someone in the room. You have a socket and a ball in your right hip that is filling your life with pain. And it's really bad. And Almighty God is healing it right now. He is restoring it. And He is restoring the cartilage around it. He is restoring the ligaments around it. He is restoring that ball. He is literally rebuilding that ball, and He is restoring the health of the socket that it is in that's been damaged because the ball's been going bad, and that's all being healed and it's being restored right now in Jesus' name. Somebody has that on their right hip and God is healing it right now in the name of Jesus.
Another person came here tonight and you battle migraines horribly, horribly bad because you have a vertebrae in the area of your neck that is really out of place. You had an accident and it's been damaged, and Almighty God is healing it, and the pain is leaving. Those nerves are being restored. I see them just being completely restored.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Stand with me, church, would you please? I came tonight fully prepared to teach you on the history of one world government going all the way back to Lucifer in heaven. Goes all the way back to there. It's been Lucifer's plan from the time that God put Adam and Eve in the garden to co-opt the human race and to establish a one-world government under his regime. He thought he had it at Babel, but God confused it. Then he thought he had it again with Nebuchadnezzar, but again, God has interesting ways. I'm going to give you a snapshot tomorrow night, I think. I'll give you a snapshot of that tomorrow night, and then I want to show you what is currently happening and how close we are, and we're within a hair's breadth of the one world government. It is in place right now. The regions are in place for the ten kingdoms. It's in place right now, and I'll share with you some of the resources where I research this out. But I think we're going to go there tomorrow night. But again, here's the point. Remember, I told you each night I'm going to tell you the big so what. Well, tonight all you got was so what. Father's not done. I can't tell you how much Father's heart hurts for this city. He is literally wrestling with hearts to get his church from apathy to action, from indifference to holy fire. He's wrestling with hearts in this room right now. You have had a call on your life. You know you've had a call on your life. You are a business owner, but you know very well God gave you that business so you could be a missionary, and you have become fully content with just paying your tithe and sitting in church on Sunday. And Holy Ghost has been trying for a long time. Every now and again, he'd stir it up in you and you'd push it back down because you just weren't going to go there. Sir, it's time. God's not going to let go this time. It's time. There's a young man in this room. God's been calling you. You know he's been calling you. You've been living in rebellion. You've been difficult at home. And it's because you know God's called you and you've been wrestling with the call. Young man, it's time to give in because God's not going to quit. When he calls, if he has to, he'll just make a whale for you and throw you in it. He's not going to let you get away from it. So you might as well give in because he's calling. Calling. Church, it's time. It's time to get away from just having church and be the church. God wants to pour some anointing on some lives tonight. really seriously. That young man and that business owner, you've got to be a part of this altar call. You cannot hold back any longer. There's some sisters here. In times past, God's used you in some mighty way in giving prophetic words, words of edification, exhortation, comfort. God's used you in intercessory prayer. God's used you to do some heavy warfare. You got tired, you got burned out, and it's been a long time since you've been used that way. And God says it's time to be a part of the last day outpouring. It's time to be a part. Come on, folks, come for prayer. It's time. I know it's late, but listen, it's later than you think. Come on, come on. I want God to give me a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my life. I gotta have it. I gotta have it. Come on.
Thank you, Jesus. Can we get some of the workers that have had the training just to come up and join in as well? Stand behind.
What's your name? Ethan? How old are you, Ethan?
14.
You the guy I was talking about. You know I knew that, didn't you? Look at me.